Good morning and welcome to this service of morning prayer for St. Nicholas Church. Thank you for joining us and thanks to everyone who's contributed to the service in one way or another today. Thanks especially to Alex who's leading us in our intercessions. Next week is Palm Sunday and we do expect to meet in person next Sunday. The service will be outside in the church garden, but we will be together, and I think we can look forward to that very much. More details on how that will work in the course of the week. But now a moment of quiet, and then I will begin with the opening declaration. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayer for today, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Bible reading today is John chapter 4, and we're reading verses 1 to 42. Quite a long reading, but I think it's worth reading the whole story. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go back and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, women, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find them talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray for a moment before we consider this story. Heavenly Father, once again, we open your word with expectant hearts, open minds, and a readiness to listen, to learn, and to hear the voice of Jesus today. For we ask it for his sake. Amen. Last week, you may remember, we looked at the story of the lost coin. A woman had 10 coins. One was missing, and so she went to great lengths to find it once she had found... She went to great lengths to find it, sorry. Once she'd found it, she celebrated and called her friends together. Jesus likened that to someone coming to faith in Jesus Christ. This Sunday, we move from a story Jesus told to an actual incident in his life. On the face of things, it begins very simply. Jesus just chats with a woman who he happens to meet. But there is, as is often the way, a great deal going on here. This was a conversation that should not have happened. It became a very significant conversation very quickly, and it affected not just the woman herself, but the whole town where she lived. So, the conversation that should not have happened. There are at least 3 reasons why Jesus would not have been expected to have been found in conversation with the woman at the well. Firstly, she was a Samaritan, and as we heard in the reading, Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now, the reasons for that are very interesting, if you like a bit of biblical history. This is not a history lesson, but let's just get a very quick sense of what was going on. The tension between Jews and Samaritans had lasted about 400 years. The region of Samaria had been part of the Kingdom of Israel under Kings David and Solomon. But later on, it was invaded, and the invaders had moved some people in and others had been moved out. So the population had become mixed and they had lost their identity as part of Israel. In addition, they no longer saw Jerusalem as a centre of worship. They'd set up their own temple. So they no longer shared either a sense of racial identity or religious identity with the Jews. That made the Samaritans and the Jews not only very suspicious of one another, but frankly, they just did not trust each other and avoided contact as far as possible. So in the usual course of events, someone like Jesus, a Jew, would not have been expected to talk socially with a Samaritan. But somehow that simply did not bother Jesus at all. Jesus talked to anyone. There was no prejudice, racial or religious, in Jesus. He broke down any barriers. Wouldn't it be great if Christians were known to be people who, like Jesus, were also ready to push past those things that might be used to divide us? You know, it's the easiest thing in the world to divide people, to set people against each other, to sow mistrust, to identify others as somehow being the enemy. It is harder to unite across our differences. But as Christians, that is the story we have been given. God's story, the story of Jesus, is one of drawing people together, of loving people who might seem very different to you. That is what Jesus did, and that is what we, as his followers, must do also. Jesus, as is the way, makes it look quite easy. We might have to work a bit harder, go more out of our way in one way or another. But that's what we are called to do. I mean, truth be told, in South London, you do not have to go far to meet people who are not like you. So the point is to love them as Jesus loved. The next thing about the Samaritan woman is that she was a woman. Obvious and very important. At that time, a rabbi or religious teacher would not typically have spoken to a woman in public. That's why later in the story we read that the disciples were surprised to see Jesus speaking to a woman. It was out of the ordinary. But Jesus, once again, makes it seem so easy. Now that would not naturally have been the case for the time. Jesus somehow, though, puts the woman at her ease. She clearly trusts him and she speaks openly with him. That's an important observation for our times. If you're a man, the question is, how do you put the women that you know, that you perhaps work with, that you meet, at their ease? Can you make them feel not only unthreatened, but safe around you? Paul's advice would be to relate to women with gentleness and respect. From what I can gather, we have a lot of work to do on that front. And it has to be done, for if we're going to tell God's story truly, authentically, our story has to match. We have to be like Jesus. The story we tell is one of good news for women and for men. If it's anything else, then it's not worth telling. So one last point to note here about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Now Jesus, we read, was tired and he sat down at the well. It was the sixth hour, which meant midday, the hottest part of the day, and a time to rest in the shade rather than head out to draw water from the well. You see, the Samaritan woman went out to the well at that time because she knew that there would likely be no one else there. She didn't want to meet too many other people. This was because she had something of a reputation, and not a good one at that. What she went on to discover was that although she'd never met Jesus before, he seemed to know everything about her. She did not really want to talk about her past relationships or her current domestic situation, which was why she went to the well when she did. This was the conversation that should not have happened, but it did. And Jesus removed all the barriers that should have existed between them, and he just opened up the conversation. Jesus and the woman at the well had quite a curious chat, it has to be said, and we don't have time to do it justice today. It gets a bit sort of technical, because the woman was trying to draw attention away from herself. She was just changing the subject. There is the one thing I would like us to see in passing as we move through the events. We've been thinking during Lent of God's story, our story. And we're going to see more of the significance of that in a moment. But you see what happens here? The woman does not tell Jesus her story. Turns out, he knows it already, and he tells it to her. There can be no secrets from Jesus. He already knows our stories, and the stories of those to whom we will tell them. Then Jesus, you see, tells his story, God's story, to her, to the woman. I think the point about Jesus telling the woman her own story was not just to show how much he knew, but also that her story, messy and complicated as it was, would not stop her hearing God's story. Jesus goes on to say that he himself was the source of living water, that he offered life that would last forever. And he made that offer because he was the Messiah, the one sent from God to make this offer of life to the whole world. No one's story was too tricky or too difficult for it to prevent them hearing God's story. That's good for us all to know. We can be reassured that our stories, whatever they are like, are not a problem to God. If that's the case for us, then the stories of those who we know and meet and talk to are not a problem to God either. Well, let's spend the last couple of minutes seeing what effect God's story had on the woman's story and on the place where she lived. You know, the woman felt a bit uncomfortable talking about her past, and she moved the conversation on to questions of dispute between Jews and Samaritans. And Jesus responded to her questions, but then he said, went on to say much more about himself than we've seen him saying in some of the earlier stories. He told her he was the person they had been waiting for. He was the Messiah. He entrusted the woman with his story. He told her the most important news she would ever hear. There were now two possibilities. She could have been pleased and gone on living her life as before, albeit knowing Jesus for herself, and keeping that news to herself. Or she could have done what she did and shared that news. Well, in the event, she didn't mess about. Here was someone who knew her story, who had told her his story, and now she really did have a story to tell. I have met the Messiah. Or at least he says he's the Messiah. She did not sneak back into the village. Rather, she told everyone to come and meet Jesus for themselves. Look at the transforming effect the good news of Jesus had on her. The entire village knew who she was. They knew she preferred to keep her head down. But now there she was, a different person, changed by meeting Jesus and with a new story to tell. And look at the response of the village. They really listened to her. They wanted to know what she was saying. You see, the good news of Jesus in itself removes barriers. It unites those who otherwise would not have been seen in each other's company. That is the impact of God's story and our story. Let's not underestimate the power of the good news and the power of the true stories we tell of lives lived with the presence of God. So there was that woman, an outsider in her own village, who brought them all to faith in Jesus Christ. Having met Jesus, she had a story to tell. It was her own story, transformed by meeting her Messiah, her Saviour, and it was God's story. All credit, really, to the people who knew the woman, that they could see the change in her, and they were willing to believe her and go and meet Jesus themselves. In fact, as we heard at the end, Jesus stayed with them for 2 more days, and they all had a story to tell by the end of it. Over the past few weeks, we have read and heard the stories. Some ones about events that actually happened. Some were stories, parables that Jesus told. In each of them, we've heard another piece of God's story. If we are followers of Jesus, then these are our stories also. They have been told and retold over thousands of years, and they are entrusted to us so that we too can tell them. And here we are, approaching Holy Week and Easter, the greatest of all stories. This is the story that has been given to us. It's ours. not to keep to ourselves, but as the woman at the well realised, it's for everyone, it's for all our community, it's for our world, and it is for it today, right now. Well, let's stop for a moment to think on the story of the woman that Jesus met at the well for a moment or two. Well, now we continue as we say the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And next, Alex will lead us in our intercessions.